Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Simple Pin Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about a topic that doesn't really apply to all of our listeners. And I don't generally do these types of podcasts anymore. I did for a long time, myth-busting podcasts, kind of urban legend type of podcasts. But I really had this moment where, you know, we learned more about our audience and realized there are listeners that are in the e-commerce space. There are listeners that are in the e-commerce slash blog space or Etsy or teachers pay teachers, content creators of all types. And so as we think about the topics for our podcast, we're very intentional to make them more broad instead of narrow. However, a question has been coming up more and more in our Instagram when we did our recent sponsorship at a conference. And so I figured instead of continuing to just answer those as one-offs, we would do this type of podcast. And the question we keep getting is, should you turn off rich pins? So some of you may not even know what a rich pin is or even the history behind this question. So this podcast is all about me helping to bring you up to speed and also tell you my expert opinion about what I think about this question. It does come up mostly for food creators, and I'm going to get into why. But if you are new to Pinterest, so this is something that you're going, what in the world are rich pins? Listen in. And if you are seasoned and you're kind of curious, then continue to listen in as well. Before we dive in, I know that there are several people who are still confused about how to get started with Pinterest or how to jump back into the game of Pinterest. We recently talked to a lot of people who had kind of given up on Pinterest in 2021, maybe even 2022, and they just said, I'm going to go all in on Google or maybe another option like TikTok. And so they're coming back and they're saying, I don't really know where I should start. So if you are a DIY kind of person, then you can head to our shop, which is located at simplepinshop.com. You can scroll down in your podcast app. We have a blueprint mini course that is going to get you up and running with Pinterest pretty fast. And then from there, we can kind of piece and parse out what you want to go deep into, whether it's analytics, setting up your shop, or really nailing your images. But if you are a hire it out kind of person, then book a discovery call with us. Our team can help you figure out what the right service is for you. We know that some people are really great with consults and some people just need to hand it off completely. So go to simplepinmedia.com to learn more and book that call. Or like I said, scroll down in your podcast app. There will be certain articles that I reference in today's episode. Those are down below. We've linked those. But if there's something that I reference that you are interested in looking into more, please, you can email us at any time. hello@simplepinmedia.com.
You're listening to the Simple Pin Podcast. Pinterest for business advice that goes down smooth and easy. Here's your host, Kate All.
Should you turn off rich pins is how this whole episode got started. So I'm going to get a little nerdy on this. And like I said, if you're totally new to Pinterest and new to these terms, I'm going to give you the details of what rich pins are, the types of rich pins that we currently have on the site and on the Pinterest site, like the Pinterest options, and why you want to have them on your website. Then I'm going to go into this myth, belief, urban legend that keeps coming up for people, and it tends to come up every 2 years or so. It's kind of like clockwork since 2019. And like I said, I've been asked about it at least 15 times in the last month. So hence, here we have a podcast. If you are not interested in this and your site is mostly centered around e-commerce, this might be kind of a snooze fest for you because you automatically have product rich pins and you want them. You do not want to turn them off because it updates your inventory and your pricing. So I do try to make things pretty interesting around here on the podcast. So listen in if you just want to be educated so you can have a great conversation at a party if this happens to come up for you. or watch one of our recent YouTube videos about the e-commerce features on Pinterest. We've definitely gone deep as of late, so you can check that by searching Simple Pin Media on YouTube. And if you're just into the latest Pinterest gossip, then stick around. So here we go. What are rich pins? So rich pins are something that Pinterest introduced. I don't exactly remember the year, but I feel like it was maybe around 2016, 2017. And they automatically sync information from your site. So you can identify rich pins by extra information above and below the image when you click on the pin. And if something changes on the site, like let's say you update the meta description, the rich pin updates to reflect any of those changes. So there are three types of rich pins that Pinterest has out there. Recipe rich pins, and that is, it includes like the title, the serving size, the cook time. It can include ratings, diet preferences, a list of ingredients, but it does not give the how of a recipe. It just gives the details. The second is an article rich pins. This is what I have at Simple Pin Media. It adds a headline or a title, the description and the author of the article, or a blog post from your site. Product rich pins include the most up-to-date pricing, availability, and product information right on your pin. So Pinterest added this for two reasons. One, they wanted to make sure that when something was pinned from your website, whether you did it or somebody else did it, it traveled with the right information. And product rich pins came later in the game, and they were a big demand for e-commerce sellers because people would pin these product listings from their site and there was really no way to update it. Something would be out there with the wrong price, or maybe they didn't have it available anymore. And pinners would come to their site and they would be so annoyed. Like, where is this product? I want to purchase it. It's out there on Pinterest. Why can't I find it? And so Pinterest introduced these e-commerce systems that allowed for everything to be updated every 24 hours if you had for your catalog connected. It is a godsend for those who are selling products because it really eliminates a lot of customer frustration. Article rich pins were one of the first. They're like the flagship rich pin. And this was essentially so that people would know this is the site it came from, this is the blog post it came from, and this is the description that goes along with it. You could set it on your website and you can guarantee that anybody who pinned it, it would get out there for all to see. Then recipe rich pins, which I would argue have been iterated on more and more and more as new features kind of develop. Initially, it was just a list of ingredients. And what this did was it allowed the pinner who was searching on Pinterest to not only be matched up with the ingredients that maybe they were searching, but also to qualify if that's the recipe they wanted to make. They could read through and go, oh, yes, I have this, I have this, I have this. Yes, done. Or they could see ratings now. That's pretty new within the last couple of years. And then they could see serving size and cook time, right? So it was really to be able to qualify whether or not the recipe was a match and give the algorithm more details about what the recipe included. It was also really great when Pinterest had a big struggle with stolen pins. This was a big thing. The years tend to blur together kind of pre and post COVID, but I would say it was 2019, a little bit before 2019, where they wanted to add this because there were all these scraping tools that were basically coming onto the Pinterest platform. They would scrape an image and they would automatically redirect it back to their website instead of the original owner's website. It was maddening. We saw traffic plummeting for a lot of people. It seemed like there was no way to stop it. You couldn't even report it fast enough. It was really, really bad. And so Pinterest introduced this element of recipe rich pins that would show ownership went to a particular site. So then it made it harder for the scraping, the stolen pin problem. So essentially, rich pins just give more quantitative data to both the algorithm and to the people. It's kind of like the SEO part of the pin. It's a good thing. Now, rewind to 2019, just after Recipe Rich Pins have been introduced. And there's this little thing called Recipe Gate. Some people might remember it. Some people might not. It was very short lived because people had just tremendous backlash against it. So Pinterest did this thing with the Rich Pin where it kind of bypassed the user's site. I don't even remember how they did it. I'm sure somebody listening is like, oh, I remember. It was terrible. But basically, it like bypassed the person's site and it pulled up immediately just the directions of how to cook a recipe. So instead of going to the website to have to read through all the words, which we know all the words are really there for Google, and get to the bottom of the recipe, and you would know how to make it at that point, Pinterest kind of swiped past it, which hence the name Recipe Gate. It was this horrible thing that people said, but wait a minute, now people aren't coming to our site because you're pulling this data as well. Lots of pushback, lots of internal stuff, and we no longer have that. But thus began this belief of turning off Rich Pins, because if everybody turned off Rich Pins, then Pinterest couldn't do that anymore. But then on the other hand, we still had the stolen pins struggles. So it's kind of this really weird time for Pinterest, right? Because they were like, I do not want Pinterest to do this, but I do not want somebody to steal my pins. And so people, when they turned off the Rich Pins initially, their traffic went back up because Pinterest was no longer gatekeeping it. So that's kind of how we got this question of, should I turn Rich Pins off? Well, a month later, it was pretty swift that Pinterest fixed this. People were skeptical. They said, I don't know if I want to turn them back on, because what if Pinterest does this again? It's totally understandable. We got about a year out. Everybody kind of forgot about it. And people started turning on Rich Pins again, because that was a solution at the time to the stolen pin struggle. And it was the one thing that Pinterest was saying, please do this. This will solve part of the problem so that nobody can scrape your content and redirect it to a site that you don't own. Great. And then we kind of didn't hear about it. And with the recent updates to Google and people getting really worried, so the fast forward to today, people are wondering, okay, I'm getting back on Pinterest, but do I turn off Rich Pins? Because I've heard from somebody else that when I turn off Rich Pins, my traffic goes up. And if your ads monetized, the more traffic, the better, right? Well, over these years, since 2019, people have tested it by turning them off, turning them on, turning them off. Some people have noticed that when they turn them off, their bounce rate goes up dramatically. And that is something that Google weighs into their rankings. So for somebody trying to optimize with Google, this might be a negative for them. Other people turned them off and they didn't know the bounce rate. Some people left them on and their traffic was great. Some people turned them off and their traffic was terrible. There's no general consensus across the board as to what works or doesn't work. There are a lot of one-off stories of it working for people. And I think that's great, is if something is working for someone and they find that they're not having a high bounce rate, people are staying on their site, then they're fine. But I've also heard from people that they've turned them off for a long time, that it's negatively impacting their traffic and people aren't staying on their site as long. And the reason for that would be is that they can't see the ingredients. So they can't immediately determine if they have those things in their house, therefore being able to make the recipe. So they click on it, they get over there, they're like, well, I don't have beans in my cupboard. And you might be thinking, who doesn't have beans in their cupboard? I don't. So they would click away really fast. Also, the list of ingredients does hold algorithmic value, because if somebody is looking for recipes that include beans, not only is it in the description of the pin, but it also can be in the list of the ingredients. Okay, so that brings us to, you now understand where the great debate of Rich Pins has started. So what I did in preparation for this episode was I went, okay, is this really a big conversation or is it just happening a little bit? What's happening? And what I found, well, I found some people running experiments, and that's what I want to go to. If you want to try something with any social media, in fact, I went to my team the other day because I saw My friend Katie Widrick was talking about Instagram and how you remove followers, and then all of a sudden your engagement comes up. So I went back to my team and I was like, should we do this? I mean, I've heard this before, but should we do it? And my team was like, you know, we've tried it and it just really doesn't do anything for us. And underneath Katie's post, some people were like, I've tried it, it's amazing. Other people were like, I've tried it, it did nothing. So what works for one might not work for you. So that's just important to take into consideration before you decide if you are going to test this. So I did find somebody who ran an experiment who wrote an excellent blog post. It was from Non-Guilty Pleasures. I found it because I wanted to see if people were posting about their experience and who tested it, if it was outside of a Facebook group, because I'm not in all these Facebook groups. She was very thorough. She took into consideration time, and she said she's going to run her experiment again. If you want to read that full blog post, it was excellent. It's down below in the podcast app. So if you're curious, if you want to try something that you think might increase clicks coming from Pinterest, like I said, by all means, give it a try. But you have to track it, or you have to have somebody on your team track it to know if it really works. Here's what I'll say from what I've heard over the years. It is all over the map. All over. There is really not one thing to nail down. Some people don't even know if they have them on or off. I know there's a plugin where you can quickly turn them on, turn them off. You used to have to add the snippet of code, all of these things. And let me clarify too, if you have article rich pins or you have product rich pins, you absolutely need to keep them on. Like, you would be doing yourself a disservice to turn them off. This mostly applies to those who are in the food creator space. If you are not in the food creator space and you don't even have to worry about ingredients, just leave them on. So here's my reasons that I would tell any food creator to keep them on. But I know, because I've sat across the table from them, that people will be like, I've tried them and they worked. Great. This is not for you. This is for the person who doesn't know if they're going to try it. One, I believe seeing the ingredients qualifies the user faster. They can see the recipe, know if they have the ingredients to make it or not, and it increases the time that people are going to spend on your website. And again, it does not list the instructions and the how-to. And I don't know about you, but I can't really make a recipe without the how-to. My number two reason is that all of those ingredients have keyword value to Pinterest. If someone is searching for something with sour cream, yours has sour cream in the list, it helps the algorithm know this is included and they show it to people who are looking. Number three, people on Pinterest are much more likely to stay on your site longer, like I said, when they have all the ingredients list and then go to find the instructions. And then they keep that page open. I use Pinterest for recipes. I get on my iPad in my kitchen. I look at the recipe. I see if I have everything. I go to the website and I keep that open the entire time that I'm cooking. I'm not going back to Pinterest. I'm staying on that person's website. And number four, the older belief was that it helped with stolen pins. The metadata is attached from your site and that would prevent people from scraping the content. That really doesn't happen anymore. So I do think it is a security blanket just in case it starts to happen. So my expert advice would be to keep them on. But if you're a food content creator and you want to test it out, by all means, do it. But just keep in mind that you really need to track your before and after stats to know if it really works for you. And decide if you have the time, if you have the desire, if you even care. There are some things that when I'm doing my social media marketing, that I just don't care about. And I don't know if the gain I'm going to get from it is going to be as great as I think it's going to be. And some people will tell you there's 30 to 40 to 50% increase in traffic. I don't really know. I haven't looked at people's traffic to know if that's true. But if you are looking for a certain level of a difference, you should set your threshold. In order for this to be worth it for me to test, I need to see a 20% increase in my traffic. But if for you, you're seeing increases in your traffic, then maybe you hold off. Also, Q2 is the lowest traffic time on Pinterest, and it is the lowest time for food creators anyway. So if you are doing the test this time of year, please make sure you're comparing it to last year's data. And if you're new to Pinterest and you don't have last year's data, I highly recommend you don't do it until you have at least 2 years worth of data. So I hope this was helpful, entertaining, a little bit of Pinterest history. I'll chat with you in 2 years when this question comes up yet again. If you are looking for more information, some of our blog posts, our products, whatever we have, go to simplepinmedia.com. If you like this podcast and you feel like this gave you some things to think about, please share it with your friends, have a discussion. Sometimes I would normally say, don't share this in a Facebook group because I know what happens in Facebook groups. But if that's where quality discussion happens for you and you think that this is going to be a good thing, that's going to help you all really debate and think it through, by all means, share in a Facebook group. I can't see it. Don't send me screenshots. Just debate it, but be kind, please. And the last, if you would hit the 5-star button to leave a review, I would be so thankful for that. So thank you so much for listening to the Simple Pin podcast. Apparently, it's the place where you get all the Pinterest history and all the Pinterest education.